Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
Hour number two of the program. Well, hour number four for me here. You can catch me along with Ken Miller each and every day from noon until two here on 1700 KBGG. And of course, on your drive home from four until six with Jimmy B. Well, a lot going on certainly in the realm of college basketball. And I had a couple of numbers I had to throw by. Now, Jimmy B took a step out of the studio. He'll be back, I think, shortly. Coming up this hour, we got Wolfgang stopping by before we get out of here at 6 o'clock. But the odds are out now, and they've been out since late last night. They started to trickle. Here's some updated odds, though, from Bovada as a in the realm of who's going to win the national title. Now, I've seen Villanova. I've seen Duke. Those are the two betting favorites. Depending on what shop you're going to have, which one you're going to be looking at, it's one of those two. Duke at Bovada right now is the betting favorite. If you bet them to win the whole thing, plus 325. Not exactly great odds. In fact, if you're going to do that, what I would tell you is take whatever amount you were going to bet, bet them on the money line each and every round. I think you'd get better than plus 325 unless, you know, Duke would see maybe Clemson. And then West Virginia, and then in the championship game, Loyola, I mean, something like that. Then maybe you wouldn't get better than plus 325. But if you're going to do that, plus 325. Villanova, the second choice at 9-2, plus 450. But here's the surprise. The number three choice, this is to win the national title. It's not Kansas, not Purdue. There's two of them listed as a third betting choice. It's 7-1, Gonzaga, and Kentucky. Now, of course, a lot of this has to do with the path that you have to take to get there. I mean, that's also a big piece that goes into this, is who you have to beat in order to win the national championship. And for Kansas, they have to get through Clemson and then pass Duke or Syracuse, and then more than likely Villanova or Purdue or Texas Tech or West Virginia. I mean, that's the path that they have to take. Much more difficult than what Kentucky's facing. It is Kansas State team that might again be without Dean Wade, and then either Nevada or Loyola. And those stories are great. They're fun. And I'm happy that I got one thing right, having the Wolfpack for Nevada. I had them in the Elite Eight before. We don't need to talk about the rest of what I had, but I had that. But that path is much more difficult than Kansas, but still, bit surprised by that. You got Kentucky and Gonzaga, the third choice, at 7-1. Michigan, then at 8-1. Again, path playing a portion. And then Kansas at plus 850. Then you get into some of the longer shots, both West Virginia and Purdue. They're at 16-1. You got Texas Tech at 22-1. A&M, Clemson, Nevada, 25-1. And that A&M team, I think that's the one, if you're looking for a long shot, that'd be the one that I'd take a deeper look at. First of all, Texas A&M, they're on the correct side, right? If you're looking left side versus right side of your bracket as you're looking at it, Texas A&M on the right spot. Difficult at first. Yeah, Michigan's going to be tough. Gonzaga after that, more than likely, yeah, still tough.
Yeah.
But I think, Jim, that's the one. If I'm taking a look at the long shots listed here, A&M at 25-1 is worth a fire.
Look, I've been on Gonzaga's bandwagon. You know I have when this tournament began.
But they're the third betting choice. They're 7-1
right now. I know they are. I know. I was stunned when you said that. So it's amazing how Vegas changed immediately when all the so-called blue bloods, for the most part, got upset. So if you're – now which team now did you say that you were going to take a fire on?
Texas A&M.
Why not?
25-1. I already got Villanova 22-1 before the season. They're now the second choice behind Duke. But I don't, again, this is to win the national title. Kansas State at 28-1. No. To win the whole thing, no. Florida State at 40-1. No. Loyola 50-1. The last team, in fact, is Syracuse at 66-1. At 66-1, I mean, I know this team's not very good, but here they are.
Correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Texas A&M earlier in the year, like late November or December, go into West Virginia and just pound them like by 20 or so?
It was in Germany. They didn't go into West Virginia. I think it was in Germany. It was one of the first games
of
the year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was way back in the day, but
yeah.
Earlier this season. You're right on that. But they got down early. West Virginia, I watched most of that game. In fact, I was in Cedar Falls. I was calling the state tournament, football tournament. I can't remember if it was a championship night or the semifinals, but stopped in for dinner before the championship game and watched a little bit of that. And, yeah, it was down early, and then they came back and throttled. That's a very talented team, Texas A&M. And you saw what they did to Carolina. That was a team we expected to see out of Billy Kennedy maybe for most of the year. They're 0-5 at one point in the SEC, but here they are. And in terms of talent, I really like that one. So I'm going to take a little shot at that one.
Okay.
Invest
okay.
a little bit and see what comes out there. But, of course, Duke, Villanova, those are the easy picks at this point in time.
Yes.
Jim, what did you get right? What do you feel good? What are you smiling about as you look at things that you're still good in your bracket?
I have Kansas going all the way out.
Not Kansas.
What?
Kansas is a one seed. Right now, what was the right choice? Did you have an upset that actually hit, or did you just go all chalk?
Upset that actually hit. No.
That's what I figured.
I went pretty much. Oh, no, I take that back. I had Providence. Oops, they didn't win either.
No, they got beat by A&M.
Yeah. I know. I didn't have anything. Nothing. Oh. I suck pond water, but I did take a lot of chalk, and I'm still good in the Midwest and the East. I still have Gonzaga in the West.
That's all right. That one's okay. It's still a four seed. I can't give you too much credit. I'll give you a little bit.
All right.
All right. Okay. We'll come back here on the other side. We got Wolfgang stopping by. This portion of the program brought to you by Advantage Financial. Tax season, it's here. Go to AdvantageIowa.com for all the details.
We talk sports on 1700 with Jimmy B and TC, Des Moines' savviest sports duo on The Big Talker, 1700 KBGG.
Hey, honey, I'm going to the chicken coop to watch the tournament.
Whoa, wait a minute. Our team didn't make the tournament.
Yeah, but, you know, my second favorite team did.
Oh, really? And who's that? Let me guess. You're in a pool again, aren't you?
A couple of them. Yeah. Gotta go. Bye.
It's tournament time, baby. No need to flip channels to watch the game. The Chicken Coop has all the games from every network on every TV. The Chicken Coop. Serious about food. Serious about the tournament.
Hi, I'm Baron Geiger, president of Caring Hands in Altoona. Is winter wearing on you? Are you ready for the sights and smells of spring? Do you enjoy walking or running and like the idea of meeting the needs of others in your community? If so, we've got a great opportunity for you. On April 7th, Caring Hands Food Pantry and Clothes Closet will be hosting its annual Springtime Hill Climb 5K, 10K race. Starting in Doan's Park, the Springtime Hill Climb lets you breathe in the fresh air as you walk or run down the beautiful streets and trails of Pleasant Hill. The Springtime Hill Climb is for everyone, whether you're a new runner looking for a challenging 5K, a long-distance runner looking for a 10K training challenge to prepare for other races coming up, or just want to enjoy a walk through the community to support our fight against hunger here in Polk County. What do you think? Interested in registering for the race or being one of our many local sponsors? Just go to our website, www.caringhands.org. We'll see you on April 7th.
Sponsored by Firestone Complete Auto Care. Firestone Complete Auto Care, keeping cars running newer, longer. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Dutch Boy's new Platinum Plus paint with Stain Shield technology has the performance you expect from a luxury paint at a price you didn't. Platinum Plus is up to 50% more washable and stain resistant than a leading premium paint in satin sheen. Superiority ranges from 24 to 50% depending on sheen selected. Platinum Plus keeps your walls looking new longer. Menards and Dutch Boy paint have you covered. Go ahead, live your life.
Right now at Menards, get 11% off everything, including Dutch Boy paint.
When you run a growing business, you wear a lot of hats. The I ordered it hat, the Mr. Fix-It hat, the it's taken care of because I handled it yesterday hat. My favorite hat? My I received an order from Granger hat. I look my best in that one. Granger's got the products I need and gets me them when I need them, no matter what hat I'm wearing that day. You know what? I love Granger. You know why? Because Granger's got my back. Call clickgranger.com or stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Napa Know How.
Hey, I'm Chase Elliott, driver of the number 9 Napa Chevy.
here to tell you that when you spend $25 at Napa this month, you'll get a free number 9 Napa racing cap. So whether you're a fan of drivers with fast cars or just a fan of keeping the sun out of your eyes, you'll get a free number 9 racing cap just for spending $25 at Napa. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores, while supplies last. Offer expires 3/31/18.
Since 1993, Wolf Construction has been Des Moines' choice for residential and commercial roofing. From complete re-roofing to small leaks, call Wolf Construction at 225-8866 for your roofing needs. Call 225-8866 to set up your roofing consultation or online at wolfconstruction.net. That's wolfconstruction.net for Wolf Construction. A-plus rating from the Better Business Bureau. wolfconstruction.net.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down, or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness. Give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M industrial pressure washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines or online, washersystems.com.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
And welcome back. It's Jimmy B and TC. I move Brinson aside. He gets a little respite. And we welcome in our man, Wolfgang. You can find him on Twitter at Wolfgang Hawkeye. You hear him after Iowa basketball games, a lot of times doing the Instant Reaction podcast. What time do the Hawkeyes play in the Sweet 16, Wolfgang?
That would be no time PM. Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. Man.
Oof. I thought they were going to be a Sweet 16 team. I thought they were going to be a Sweet 16 team. Wolfgang.
Oh, God. We're embarrassing.
Yeah.
We let's just say, and I've admitted this before this. You know this. I've said this weeks and weeks and weeks ago, that I'm so mad because I feel so dumb.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because, yeah. And that's what gets coaches fired. Is when your fan base, the people that love you and root for you and pay the dollars and go to the games, go to the bowl games, but that's what gets you fired when they feel stupid. Because we all feel really dumb right now with the Iowa basketball team. And looking at some of this, it's fun, Trent, to listen to some of these guys. I know you said you're more of the, CBS, but I've watched ESPN, I watched CBS, I watched Turner and the TBS guys. It's fun to watch them get so angry because this is the one time of the year, Trent, where they can't just go bull hard on us. They actually have to make picks. They have to make picks in front of millions and millions of people.
Yep.
They can't skirt their way around and just use funny words or whatever to make you think, well, they thought about that about somebody or they thought something else about this. No, they actually have to put somebody on the dotted line. They can't say tie. They can't say, love both teams. But they are so angry, and I love it. It's fun. Barkley, how many guys did you see pick Michigan State, Trent?
I had them in the Final Four. I was one of them. I had them in the Final Four. What made you believe that they weren't good enough to do that? At the very least, good enough to get past Syracuse, the Syracuse team that was not good.
You remember our conversation?
They're not good. They're just not. And
here they are again, and like they were a couple years ago when they went to the Final Four as one of the last teams in, and they beat Virginia in the Elite Eight, and they get to the Final Four. That team wasn't very good either. You know what I'm coming to the realization? A, college teams do not know how to go up against zones, and it continually happens. Unless you're just shooting lights out, teams do not know how to play against zone, and that'll lead to a conversation we'll have this summer about what certainly Fran McCaffrey needs to do at the University of Iowa. But that aside, and secondly, Jim Boeheim, look through the roster. look at his teams year after year, and they're guys that go in the NBA draft, but for the most part, since Carmelo Anthony, they don't turn out to be very good players. I think we're finding out here, Wolfgang, Jim Boeheim maybe even is a better coach than we give him credit for. He's taken this group to a Sweet 16, and in the way, beating Michigan State, he's taken this group to a Sweet 16, the group 2 years ago, to a Final Four. Jim Boeheim might be underrated just how good of a coach he is.
By the way, I was not cracking on you for the MSU pick at all. Okay, not at all. Just how many talking heads, people that make millions of dollars, picked Michigan State. It was unbelievable. I've never seen a three seed get more love than Michigan State got from all the talking heads on CBS, ESPN, and Turner, and TBS. It was unbelievable. Not that it was a horrible pick at all. It wasn't. I mean, they had a ton of talent. As far as the Syracuse thing, I'm just crapping on you because you said that would be the team you'd take out to put in. And you didn't say Middle Tennessee, right? Because I was getting on you for that. I think you said USC. Is that right?
Yes. USC was my team that I would have put in over Syracuse. They're not good.
Okay.
Yeah, they're in the Sweet 16. And you know what? I don't want to watch that game at all. I don't want to watch Syracuse Duke. I like watching Duke. Duke's entertaining. I don't like them, but they're at least entertaining. And I don't want to watch that game one bit. Same thing with Florida State.
I have a reason for you to watch this, Trent. I'm sitting there watching this zone, trying to figure out how we're going to talk about this in the summer. How I'm going to go to the primetime league games and convince everybody I was going to be good. Watch the zone. Will you tell me what they're doing? Try to figure out what they're doing. I know, matchup zone, this and that. I'm trying to watch, and if you watch Syracuse's zone versus what Iowa tried to play, Trent, it's not even the same bleeping sport. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you watch how they're playing that and how they close out and they're close to this, close to that, and how they're matching up, and you watch Iowa's zone, I'm like, so they're playing. I mean, that's embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. And I would ask Fran, please watch what Jim Boeheim is doing. It's interesting what you say about Jim Boeheim. Does he have tons of talent, or has he had a whole bunch of NBA studs? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But he obviously knows what he's doing, and it's weird that some of his teams that just sneak in go on these runs. Maybe Syracuse is going to do it this year. I don't know. The Virginia thing, again, all you guys, all you talking heads that get paid to talk, Trent, hate this Virginia losing. Why didn't you see this coming at least a little bit?
Because they won the ACC by 4 games, because they ran roughshod through the ACC tournament. There is nothing that would lead you to believe that they're going to lose to Maryland, Baltimore County, the Retrievers, in the first round. That's why, Wolfgang, that's why this whole thing is dumb, and people beating their chest, oh, I had that upset. Who cares? You know, the whole, my bracket is so great, or, oh, my bracket's bust. Nobody cares. You know what? I made a great call, too. You know what? I had Nevada. I have them in the Elite Eight. Before the tournament began, that was my one great call. Who cares? Nobody cares that I had that because I also had Arizona playing for the national title. It's guesswork. That's all this is, and we could start this whole thing up again.
Why did you have Virginia and Arizona? You're totally going off the deep end here. Why did you have Virginia and Arizona? What do their coaches have in common?
Virginia and Arizona? Nothing.
They haven't really had much success in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, yeah. That's true. And there's been plenty of guys that didn't have success in the NCAA tournament until they had success in the NCAA tournament. I mean, it's a narrative that will go away once they break through.
But Arizona's like a joke now. I mean, people are actually making fun of Arizona now. They're joking about them. They're like a national joke, and they actually even were before this year. They were kind of a national joke that some of the, I think Barkley said he picked them 8 years in a row or something like that. One of the other coaches was like, yeah, I'm not picking Arizona. Give me a break.
Well,
they're a joke.
Sean Miller's gotten beat in the Elite Eight 5 times. That means he's a bad coach? I mean, that whole narrative.
That
just,
no. Absolutely not.
Right. That whole narrative just drives me crazy, too. Oh, you can't do this. You can't do that until they do it, and then it goes. It's just, Sean Miller's a good coach. Is he a shady coach? Yeah, we can make our own thoughts about that, too. There maybe is a little bit of shadiness that goes along with it, but the guy's a good coach. He was a good coach at Xavier. He's a good coach at Arizona. And wherever he ends up next, be it the NBA or at his alma mater at Pittsburgh, he'll be a good coach there. He's a good coach. Good coaches are good coaches. And sometimes it comes to a break. What if one of these years with Arizona, he would have had a path like Kentucky gets to go through, where it is Davidson, Buffalo,
now, see, you don't Kansas get this State. Tournament. You don't get this tournament, Trent. A pass? What are you talking about?
That's the path that Kentucky takes to the Final Four.
There's no passes in the NCAA tournament. Did you not just watch this weekend?
Sure. But
there's no passes. You're the guy that thinks I'm a snob because I don't want Middle Tennessee in.
Right, but
there's
you don't
no
think that it's not easier to go through that as opposed to, oh, I don't know, West Virginia, they have to beat Villanova and then either Purdue or Texas Tech. It's not easier. You know, Clemson, what would Clemson rather have? Would they rather be in the South or have to play Kansas and then the winner of Michigan Syracuse? So what would you rather have if you have
I like the way you phrase that better. I like the way you phrase that, rather have, okay?
Yes.
I don't know what their coaches would rather have. I don't know. I mean, I'm guessing they look at matchups. That would we need to fix the NCAA tournament quick then.
Because
you snobs that don't even want to watch this anymore. Because you
what?
Think that...
When did I say that?
Oh,
what, whoa.
You got it wrong, so you don't want to watch this anymore.
Who
you
said
don't want to
that?
Watch Syracuse because you said on Friday that Syracuse shouldn't be in. You said, I'm not even going to watch it. Did you not say that?
I said I don't want to watch it, but I will watch it. Come on, Wolfgang. You nuts? Wait, what am I going to do? Dig deep into the CBI? CIT? It's college
basketball.
Go dance
with your wife. Go ballroom dancing.
Yeah, I'll be watching that garbage Syracuse team, but here we go. I don't enjoy watching Syracuse teams that don't have Carmelo Anthony on them or Derek Coleman or on and on and on. Sherm Douglas. I mean, we can play this game all day long. These recent Syracuse teams drive me batty, and they're in the Sweet 16. All right. So you mentioned Virginia. What
okay.
Friday night, take us to Wolfgang. As we've asked the question, we've entertained it, we've talked about it. Will a 16 seed ever beat a 1? I've envisioned it. I said it would happen at some point, and, well, I mean, I could have gone to my grave and been wrong, but here we are. But I never envisioned it happening like this. A demolishing, a throttling. Virginia never being able to get back over the hump and put a little bit of pressure on them. It just, it was incredible. Your thoughts from Friday night?
No, you say I'm not crapping on anybody that picks, Virginia number one. I believe, you know the Vegas odds better than I do. I believe that they were the highest chance to win it all, and I think ESPN had Virginia as the winner in, like, what was it, like 14-15% of the brackets or something like that from people. So, but a lot of people didn't know about the injury to their sixth man of the year. He's a stud, supposedly. I don't know. You'll have to tell me. I think he's got an NBA future, maybe. Is that right?
What's that?
With the Virginia guy that was out, the sixth man of the year. But, you know, I don't know if that's true. But I was just looking at their history and their coach, and I respect him. I understand why people did pick Virginia to win it all. I understand that. He's a good coach. He's unbelievably consistent in the regular season. They play the pack line defense that who knows what's going on there. It's very interesting. He's been number one in defense, what, 4 of the last 5 years? Why doesn't everybody copy his defensive system if that's the case? Because offense is normally their problem, even though they were a little bit better at it this year. But I understand why people picked Virginia. Congrats to them. They only lost 2 times all year, Trent, in either the best or the second-best conference, ACC. Lost once. Think about that. In the ACC, lost twice all year. So I understand why people are picked Virginia. I wasn't going to go with them. Just not my thing. I didn't see the history there. I did see the consistency, but I haven't seen the consistency in the NCAA tournament from them. I picked Villanova to win them all.
As did I.
I don't even know who you picked.
I had Villanova.
I wanted to come on Wednesday with you. You were on vacation.
I had the exact same thing I had before the season. I had Villanova winning it all. I have a 22-1 ticket that I bet on before the season began. I'm feeling good about that. I had Arizona, I had Xavier, I had Michigan State. Those 3 are all done, but I went with what I had on November 10th. I got lucky also that it worked out. Hey, I made some good calls. I made some terrible calls, and probably the worst of the bunch. Hey, you mentioned Arizona. Did you watch much of that game against Buffalo?
I've actually got it on record. I didn't watch a ton of it, no.
So the one thing that jumped off, and bringing it back more to the local level, we were talking about Iowa and your expertise with the Hawkeyes. As I was watching Buffalo play and the way that they pull away in the second half against Arizona, just throughout that game, is just how damn hard they play. Buffalo, just out there grinding. You know, they're up on you defensively, and they play so hard. And you go through and you look at these good teams. You look at even the mid-majors that are okay, or the low majors, and the way that they get out there and compete. And that's why I love Texas Tech at the beginning of Big 12 play, when they beat Kansas. And that was my big takeaway. It wasn't what they were doing, X's and O's, and Chris Beard is a great coach because of what he put in, or a defense, or an offense, or, hey, did you see that play call, or that out-of-bounds play? It wasn't that. It was how they just get after it. Can Iowa get that back? Can a team that looks so lackluster, because you're telling me that Isaiah Moss doesn't have the requisite athletic ability to become even an adequate defender. Sure, there are going to be times where guys just frankly don't have very good basketball IQ, but it's not that. It's getting up there in the want, and that was missing from Iowa this year. Why is that not missing from Buffalo? Now, you're up there, you're playing to the MAC, and you play to Buffalo. Those guys want to go out there and compete. Why can't that happen at Iowa? That's maybe more the disappointing part about this Iowa team this year on the defensive end. It wasn't that it was just that they don't have the athletic ability to get it done. It's that they didn't compete.
And it's weird because we actually have three players that really compete, don't you think? With Kreener and with Garza and with, who am I forgetting? Kreener, Garza, and who am I forgetting?
Bohannon?
The other guy that, with who?
Bohannon?
No, the gives it, oh, golly. Kid from Eastern Iowa. Gee, many Christmas. Six man last year.
Pemsel?
White boy. Six man. I can't believe I'm forgetting.
Oh, Nicholas Bear.
My God. So those are three guys that literally hustle their butt off. Kreener runs back harder than I've ever seen a human being run back on defense. Bear is a hustler like Ryan Bowen. You know, I mean, and Garza, you know, there's all the color commentary guys can't stop giving him enough credit for all the hustle plays he makes and all that stuff. So we got three guys right there that we can build around for a hustle. Is it the other guys are giving zero effort? Because those guys actually do give effort. Are we not watching game film, Trent?
Well, we're not. We're not doing that. At least I'm not. I wish I could get game film, but no, I don't have that. Maybe I should get a subscribe to Synergy and I could get some more next level numbers. But no, I don't.
Oh my God. Would you not love that? Would you not love, I told you earlier in the year, the Providence coach, and I can't remember the other school, they mic'd him up.
Yeah.
They mic'd the coaches up. They didn't even have color commentary during the entire game. It was just hearing the coaches, both coaches talk. It was the Providence coach and somebody else. It was freaking awesome. Oh my gosh, did I love it. Some of the stuff they say is just so crazy stupid. But that's all. That's why you get paid millions of dollars to say that. That's all you got. And other times you go, okay, I see where you're going. Okay, maybe you know that kid better. Maybe he needs a pat on the butt. Oh, then you're yelling at that kid, and you go, oh, okay. So he needs to be yelled at. He needs to be, that's the guy. So it was very freaking interesting. I would pay a lot of money to hear what's going on when Fran is on the sideline. Obviously, you couldn't air that sucker. Are you kidding
right.
me?
Need a delay. Need a delay if you're going to be doing
that. I'm pretty sure. And I just said swear. That's funny. I swear that swear words came out. So I think it was on 219, I want to say, FS1. But it was just, man, I don't know if anybody saw it or it was just fun to watch. And especially if you know your coaches and players, to hear what they're saying. And we think we know what the players need to hear. I mean, is the coach getting after him? Is he saying nothing? Are they just talking? The coach is talking together. Are the players having to come? I mean, man, I think that's where sports heading. Just more information, more access, and I'm willing to pay for that. I'm telling you, if like Hawkeye Nation had that, if HawkeyeNation.com had that access where we could mic up the coaches, are you kidding me? What would you pay for that? I'd pay just about anything. I'd forget vacation next year for that. That's how much it interests me, like what the coach is saying to the players and how the players are reacting, what they're saying, how they're looking. You know, I love, like, body, you know, demeanor and how they're looking at each other and stuff like that. I think you can tell a ton on that. Doesn't mean you can tell everything, but man, you got me fired up. Thanks, Trent. Jiminy. Creamy.
I never know where it's going to go. Never know what it's going to go with Wolfgang. All right, Wolfgang, before we get out of here, all right, anything else on the brackets you want to hit before?
Yes, I do. I do. Can I go? I wanted to, you know how I told you how I do the brackets. Well, I like to find one team that nobody is looking at. Kentucky was kind of that team this year. West Virginia wanted to be this team this year. Remember how I've liked West Virginia, and I told you, I asked you, do you think they'd win it all, and you weren't sure, and you were kind of wishy-washy? Man,
I wasn't wishy-washy. I said absolutely not. I said absolutely not on West Virginia.
That's true. I thought I might have talked you into that. Okay.
Nope.
But West Virginia was that team that I wanted to take further than anybody, and that's how you gain points, and that's how you beat people. But when they go up against Villanova, that's the team that I have winning it all that I think is the best. And at the end of the day, I just have to pick the team that I think is the best that's going to win it. I did not know you picked Villanova. If you had to pick a second team, if right now you said you get Trent, you get two teams.
Mm-hmm.
You get Villanova and blank. Who's your other team you're picking?
Duke. It's shocking.
Oh, my God. It's like we're talking. It's like I'm talking to me. This is weird.
Well, I mean, we're not exactly going out on a limb here. It's Villanova, the number one team for much of the season. Duke, I think, the most talented team over the course of the season. We're not really going out on a limb here.
Absolutely not on a limb, but I mean, I don't know a ton of people that had Duke winning it all, do you? I don't know a ton of people that had Duke. I know a ton of people that had Michigan State, Virginia, Villanova. I don't know a ton of people that had Duke. I guess Duke would probably be next, maybe?
Yeah.
With the people that I know. I don't know. Yeah, Duke would be next for me because, again, I love chemistry and I love all that stuff, but I err on the side of talent, and they got a freaking buttload of talent. We talked earlier in the year how Duke had no defense, Trent. I mean, if you look at them now, they're shooting up the charts on the defensive end because of what they decided to go to. I mean, are they almost all zone now, right now, Trent?
Yes, yeah. And it goes back to what I said about Boeheim. Just play zone. Just play zone. College teams don't know how to go up against zone. These guys, like you say, get paid millions of dollars, and they can't figure out how to beat a 2-3 zone.
But it's annoying to me. I didn't like Dr. Tom's zone. You couldn't live with Dr. Tom's zone today with the 3-point line and how guys can shoot it. I mean, that would not work. I don't want open threes. But I sit there and watch Syracuse, and it's like, how is there no open threes here? What's happening here? I'm not understanding what's happening.
They have links.
No, they just
links.
Michigan State could not figure it out. I guess they did have shots here and there.
They did.
But they did. They had shots, and they missed them.
Yep.
But, I mean, at some point, you know, if something's working, if a zone, if man-to-man isn't working, you got to figure out how to play zone. And you watch, like I said, you watch Syracuse, you watch some of these other zones, and you watch the zone Iowa laid out. And you and I think, agreed mid-season we should probably just go there. I don't know what we think of that now because we watched that and we were like, yo, that zone sucks. I mean, that zone sucked, Trent.
Yeah. You don't want the flat 2-3. Teams hit shots, they're going to beat you, though. Same thing with Syracuse. And there's a reason they have 13 losses because sometimes teams hit shots against you. Other times, not so much. All right, Wolfgang, no shots here. It is, well, shots of a different variety. Shots as it pertains to wrestling, and your boy Spencer Lee brings home the 125-pound title, not just a champion as a true freshman, but a dominating performance, leading all individual wrestlers and teams of team points scored. He puts 27 up. Iowa finishes, to many, a surprising third place in the NCAAs. Going to be a fun next couple of years with Spencer Lee at the University of Iowa.
First of all, that has to leave our vocabulary forever. I love Tom Brands. I would never fire that guy. I'm like, I could watch him talk about, he could just read off the menu of like Pizza Hut and I'd watch it. I mean, I love that guy that much, but a surprising third finish should never come out of an Iowa fan's mouth, ever. But Spencer Lee, for the folks that didn't watch it, you can go to YouTube and watch Spencer Lee, his wrestling. Domination, Trent. It was freaking unbelievable. He just destroyed these guys. He was a true freshman that came out about mid-year, came out of his red shirt. Everybody was pumped about him. For once, somebody lives up to the hype. The guy just dominated everybody, Trent, and he considers himself a nerd. I like when guys just are self-deprecating like that. He doesn't think he's a cool dude. He doesn't try to be a cool dude. He shakes everybody's hands afterward. Everybody, all the wrestlers. What happened to What is wrong with wrestlers? Shake somebody's hand after you lose, like a man, instead of like this limp-wristed crap that I see. What is going on? Wrestlers should be the guys that, yeah, after I lost, oh, look, I'm going to beat you next time with a hard grip. You've seen these limp-wristed crap that you see, and Spencer Lee comes, he'll come out to metal, or they come out to, like, the hardest core rap you've ever seen. What does Spencer Lee come out to, Trent? Do you know this?
Pokemon.
Can you believe this? I mean, he considers himself a nerd. He's like, yeah, I'm a nerd. I'm a dork. I've barely ever, you know, I've never kissed a girl. You know, I've never, you know. I just like the guy's attitude. And Brands loves him. Brands gets the fact that his personality and how he is. And I just loved it. For those of you that haven't watched, go to YouTube. YouTube, Spencer Lee wins national championship. And you, even if you're not a hardcore wrestling fan, you will be glad I did that. And I could go off for days, Trent, on why in the hell they don't move that a week forward. It's absolutely ridiculously stupid. It's like the Drake relays. How stupid are they? Oh, golly.
You think they should move it a week forward to, like, when conference tournaments are going on?
Or let's go two weeks forward. Yeah,
No. You move the thing. I have the right plan. Your plan is wrong because it's still...
Oh, okay. This was off the cuff.
No. I have talked to this with Doug Schwab, the UNI coach. I've talked to it with a multitude of people. I have the correct thing that they need to do. It's easy. You move the calendar back a month. That's it. Everything's pushed back. So start of practice is whatever it is. I don't know. October 15th, it becomes November 15th. Everything's pushed back a month. Then you have right on... Final Four weekend, that's when your conference tournaments are going on, all right? Well, you got other things, including Sunday, when there isn't men's basketball happening on Sunday. That's when you'll have your Big Ten championships, your Big 12 championships, all that. And then a week after the Masters, that's when the NCAAs are. Middle of April.
Ooh, nice.
You're in week three of baseball's regular season. I mean, come on. Watching game 18 really doesn't have a whole lot of pull. You have the sports calendar basically to yourself. That's when you do it. For a sport that continually talks about, we have to grow our sport, we have to do these kind of things, there is a perfect opportunity. It's not difficult. And in fact, I think it'll be an improvement for the sport of wrestling because you're moving it back, you're moving away, not just away from basketball, but you're also making it for these guys in the grind and having to cut weight and everything that goes into being a collegiate wrestler. Instead of it being dragged out over two semesters, it basically also then becomes a one-semester sport, which has to be easier, and you can set up your schedule in a way to make it better for the student-athletes because these guys are not going on to be pro wrestlers because there's no such thing as a pro wrestler, at least in this vein that we're talking about here. It's simple, Wolfgang. It's easy. You put it back a month. You put the thing in the middle of April. You get ESPN wall-to-wall coverage, you get more people involved, more people interested, and you can grow the sport instead of banging your head against the wall saying, oh, we got our own March Madness, here you go, and oh, hey, we sell out every year. Here's the other argument that drives me crazy. Well, it sells out every single season. Yeah, because you have a devoted fan base of 20, 25,000 people that are going to go there each and every year. But it's not about 20 to 25,000. You're looking to grow and build. You got to have a lot more than that. That's the problem. That's what you run into. Put the thing in the middle of April, Wolfgang. Problem solved.
Because it's sold out. Does cauliflower ear equal brain damage? Because, I mean, that sounds so dumb. Oh, it's sold out. So, I mean, are you kidding me? Do you know how many basketball fans that also like wrestling that, sorry, this is basketball time? You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's just, I mean, there's, you know how many college football fans also like college basketball? College basketball at the beginning of the year, they're just not ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems, so what do they, how do they deny what you're saying and your idea? It sounds beautiful to me. How do they deny what you're saying, how that would be good for the sport, and who has the balls to do it? Dan Gable, step up.
Well, one of those people, I know Doug Schwab has brought it up in front of the committee. You know what it is? It's older people in charge. This is the way we've always done it. It's that kind of
thing.
I've never heard a compelling argument for the reason why it wouldn't make sense just to move it back a month. I have not once heard a compelling reason. And if it did, I'm willing to listen. Look, I don't know the ins and outs in wrestling compared to people in the wrestling community. It seems so simple to me. And outside of this is when we always do it, it doesn't make a lick of sense. Help me out. At Tricon and at Wolfgang Hawkeye. You can hit us up on Twitter. Tell us why we're crazy on this one. But we're out of time, Wolfgang.
All right. We'll break down the women's bracket next week.
I'll let you do that. You can do that at 6:02, all right? How does that sound for you?
Thanks, brother.
We'll see you. Wolfgang checking in with us. We're out of time for this segment. We'll come back. I'll bring Brinson back in on the other side as we put a cap on things here. Jimmy B and TC on the Big Talker 1700.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's our final segment here on a Monday on the Big Talker 1700. Jimmy B and TC. All right. So, look, you had a nice time off. And you got a chance to at least watch a little bit of some of the action. Will you watch some of the NIT tonight? Would that interest you or not at all?
You know, it's hard to get real excited about it. I mean, just being completely honest. Now, I'm going to fire at a couple of games, so that makes it a little bit better. But,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's so different. And, you know, we've had years where we saw a run out of Iowa State, and they got to Madison Square Garden. We saw Iowa, what, 5-6 years back, made it to the championship game. And it's fun when you have a local level, but, you know, Oklahoma State, Stanford tonight.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. Yeah. LSU, Utah, St. Mary's.
Yeah.
It is difficult to get excited in comparison to what we have with the NCAA tournament. You got some women's games going on, but again, Drake and Iowa got knocked off in the first round. I don't know.
It's gone.
It's empty.
It's an empty feeling is what it is.
So it's gearing up now to obviously Thursday when we get started again with the Sweet 16 games. I'm going to be light tonight. And to be honest, Jimmy B, I'm kind of tired. I need a vacation after my vacation.
That's the way it always is, pal.
Yeah.
When you've been running around for it and just, you know, trying to see in as many sights as you possibly can when you're on vacation, and then you get back and you're going, oh, my God, I'm exhausted. You're right. That's why you should always try to schedule, like, a day so that you don't have to go to work. So it's like, you know, you only have to work 4 days.
Right.
You should have done that. You should have taken Monday off.
Well, I left you here for one day, and I heard it was a struggle at times. So I couldn't do that to you, Jimmy B.
No, at times is not the case. Most of the show when I'm by myself. Right. Come on now. Well, yes, most of the show.
To be honest, you know, I give you crap all the time about the crappy NBA, and when we get to the playoffs, obviously we'll be talking about it a lot more. But tonight, ESPN's got a couple of decent games, Milwaukee-Cleveland. At least worth a cursory look. The late game, then the 8:30 game, Golden State at San Antonio. Spurs still trying to hang on to one of the final playoff spots. So I might dip into a little NBA tonight, to be frank.
Well,
I might do it.
Okay, good. Good for you. The Cleveland game is interesting, even more interesting now that Tyronn Lue, their coach, is taking a sabbatical because he's not feeling well.
Yeah.
He's had chest pains. Wow. At like 43, 44, something like that. Man. So they got the interim coach. Larry Drew is going to coach the team. It's a good matchup against Milwaukee tonight, but Cleveland doesn't have any players. They're all hurt. Kyle Korver had a family emergency. He had to leave, so I'm not sure yet if he's back for tonight's game. They're hoping to get Kevin Love back in the lineup here. If it's not this game, maybe the next. And that will change the whole dynamic for the Cavaliers tremendously. But, there's storylines at least tonight. The interesting thing that you pointed out, too, about Golden State and San Antonio, Golden State doesn't have any players either.
Mm-hmm.
Durant's out. Curry's out. I mean, they got problems with injuries right now. And you're right in your assessment where San Antonio's trying to make a run and make sure that they qualify for the playoffs. Trent, it's amazing to me, all of the teams like 1 through 11 that are still battling for that 8th or 7th playoff spot, and they're all within like 3 games of each other. It's a tremendous race.
Yeah, coming down to the wire, what is there left? 10, 11 games, something like that for most
roughly,
teams?
Roughly, that's it, yeah.
Coming down the stretch.
Then the good stuff begins. That's right. When you get engaged. I know.
Yes, yeah. And I'm hoping my T-Wolves make it. I did hedge at the beginning of the season, though. I bet them not to make the playoffs at plus 450. So I do have a little bit of hedge there. If they don't make it, Well, I'll still at least get a little money out of it. So that's a good thing, at least from my perspective. Hedging those bets against my teams, that's what I like to do, Jimmy B. Ken also, he tried to talk me into a little hockey tonight. He said a big one for my Minnesota Wild. Another thing, I haven't watched a ton of hockey, obviously, here over the last couple of months. This is the time now as games are starting to dwindle in the college realm. Probably start to get into a little bit of hockey. They play the Wild play L.A. tonight, the Kings. So, yeah, maybe. I might check in a little hockey. Haven't done that for a while. So it's going to be different. Different than really what the last 2.5 months have been, where it's been, for me, almost strictly college basketball. Starting to turn the page a little bit before we get back to Thursday through Sunday of this week.
You know, it's interesting that you would say that you would start watching a little NHL now. Look, you and I both love the NHL playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're just absolutely sensational. And they start before the NBA playoffs do, so that gives us at least something to take a look at. And with the Wild in, that'll make at least we have some sort of, even though it's not local, it's a regional tie because of the team skating in Des Moines. So at least we got something there, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We can kind of glob onto that, and hopefully they win a round, get to the next round at the very least, and then we can go that way. We're hopeful. At the very least, we're hopeful that we're able to get that. Other than that, Jimmy B, what's your attention going to be drawn to this evening?
You know, I'm probably just going to sit at a refreshment stand and look at my brackets and start crying.
Oh boy, we got into it earlier.
We did.
You know, it's the old adage, hey, the person that knows the least about it's going to do well in the bracket and all those kind of things. But I felt good. I felt confident with all my picks, Xavier. You know, that collapse last night, it's just ugly.
Yeah.
It was absolutely ugly. One of the few things that I had right, and I told you before I left, the Wolfpack for Nevada in the Elite Eight. But you know what? They had no business winning the game against Cincinnati in that
they
kind
were,
of fashion.
They were down 22.
Right.
What?
Against that team, the way they play defensively, and they come roaring back and get the victory. The round before against Texas, they got a couple of breaks late in regulation. I was listening, in fact, as we were driving on Friday to the end of that game. But then they don't miss a shot in overtime. Just how easily things can go the other way. Loyola, they hit a shot to win it in their opening round. They get a lucky bounce from Custer to get it done in the round of 32. You can play this thing. We could start it all again with the exact same bracket, this Thursday, and it would be completely different. Virginia, play that Virginia-UMBC game 100 times. It was the one time where they lose it. And it's just, it's what makes it compelling, but also can make it frustrating from our vantage point, where we watch so much basketball. We know these teams as well as most anybody, Jimmy B, but we don't know. You don't know what's going to happen in a one-game scenario. Yeah. It's great, but it's also terrible at the same time.
How about this, though? Two former Iowa State players, Clayton Custer, who you just mentioned, is in the Sweet 16, and Hallis Cook, who's now at Nevada, is in the Sweet 16. That's incredible that, that would happen like that, Trent. So I guess we could use that one as a tie-in for this week. Well, they were names, but they're not there anymore.
It's as close as we're going to get.
Yes, it is.
What a tournament it has been. And, of course, we'll have full coverage here on 1700 again starting on Thursday evening with the Sweet 16 games all the way through the weekend and all the way through the championship with Westwood One coverage. I said, as I was down in Florida, we were drove to the beach one day on Friday and driving back, so I was able to flip it on the radio down there in Florida. And Westwood One, they do such a great job. It's much like it was back when it was just on CBS, where they're flipping around, they're going back and forth between games, something close to the wire. And I'll tell you, Jim, my cell phone, it was a godsend to have as we were walking around Disney on Thursday. I got the March Madness app on my phone. You don't know what an app is because you still have a flip phone. Have you upgraded that thing yet?
No.
No, still no. Going with the flip. Well,
I'm thinking about it.
If you upgrade, Jimmy B, you can have at the fingertips of you can have everything. And every time there was a close game, I'd get an alert, and I'd pop it on, and I'd be able to watch, and I got to see the shot from Loyola. I got to see all these plays on Thursday as we're sitting in Disney. I got to see everything. I didn't miss a moment, and Thank goodness for technology. Helped me out over the weekend. I needed it. And got me all my basketball fix for the weekend. Well, with that, we're out of time. We are done. We'll do it again tomorrow, all right?
I'm ready, pal. Look, we'll be locked and loaded and ready to go on a Tuesday. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show today on Monday. Once again, Trent and I will be back bright and early, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, on the Big Talker 1700.